Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3, while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley, and as always, joined by my friend, your Alliance Council President, your Guerrilla FC President, Cameron Collins. How you doing?
What is up? How you doing?
How am I doing? Personally, I'm doing okay. Everything's going fine in life, and sounder life it effing sucks right now. So yeah. I'm going to crack open a beer, and then I would like you to introduce a guest we have on the show.
Well, that was a pretty good crack. What are you drinking?
What was it? Elysian Space Dust, my go-to.
And I've got a Guinness.
Oh, do you really? You're drinking tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I had water with this. So, yeah. Well, yeah, I watched a Sounders game. So, yeah. Yeah, it's that kind of week.
Well, When times are down, you grab friends and, yep, and drink with them. So we, right. Who else do we have with us?
We have past and future and present guest of the show, our friend and yours, the head of ECS Pub League, co-head, I don't remember what he does anymore for AO Seattle, but he's done everything, the one and only Nicholas Biella. Woo!
That's a hell of an introduction. I appreciate that.
What's up, Nate?
Wait, are you not in Alliance Council anymore?
Oh, yeah. He's
I am. Apparently that's a footnote. let me just see if I can get anything near the same crack that you guys got.
I thought mine was weak.
That was good.
That was a commercial. Ooh, Ronye.
Ronye West.
Gotta do Ronye.
The Ray.
So, it's true. So what I'm really brought you all here today to discuss is that McLaren is back.
Groom.
How excited were you after qualifying Lewis Hamilton gets pole position for the first time in 2 years and then gets swallowed up in the first two corners? Anyway, yes, McLaren's back. And that was not very exciting of a race, but it was more exciting than the Sounders game we watched this last Saturday against Real Salt Lake in Sandy, Utah, where we cannot win a game.
No, and that's why, like, we talked about it last episode. Everyone's all mad that we lost. I'm not mad we lost. I'm mad how we lost.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in the second portion of the show. We definitely have one very poignant scuttlebutt dropping from Rick Sports Feed in our Discord. So link is in the show notes. We'll talk about that in the Sounders half, though. What else is going on in the world of soccer?
Well, I think we had some big news last night when Nicholas's team beat not my team, but my, I have a good friend from New Zealand. Was the final score 1-0, Nick?
The final score is 1-0. The Philippines
really they should have been
Women's World Cup.
They had that goal called back, and technically, I guess it was offsides. But it's so silly that it, when it's that close to me.
I mean, you got to draw the line somewhere.
I know, and I it get was, it. But
however,
literally,
I don't feel. Yeah,
Philippines. I don't Philippines won. New Zealand, nothing. You know, I haven't been to the Philippines. I've been to New Zealand. One of my closest friends is from New Zealand, so I was casually rooting for them. But you know what? Good for the Philippines. That's awesome.
Hey, the Philippines had gotten their first ever shot on goal in the World Cup in this game. Their first ever goal and their first ever win.
Yeah.
How many times have they been in it, though?
This is their first time. This is their inaugural.
Like, no, but this, is this their is, first time?
This is great because the men are not good at all.
They have good jerseys, though.
Oh, the jerseys, the Jersey Bird jerseys are sweet, and that's going to be one of the first purchases once I get off of my ass and get a job. Yeah, so that I've been looking at those for a while. Those are beautiful jerseys. Have you seen the goalkeeper variant, which is black with these neon colors?
So if you haven't seen it,
so good.
Go, dear listener. Go out and look at it because it is arguably the best.
Someone give me the link. I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll find it.
We'll do that. It is a top. So, okay, here's the story on how that happened. It's really cool. Basically, the jersey I'm wearing from Kelm is last year's jersey. Now, the Philippines, because they're not a great soccer nation, usually are on a year-to-year contract with these minor sports manufacturers. Well, this company, Jersey Bird, does these, you know, concept jerseys. And someone's like, oh, do the Philippines. So they made it. People loved it so much. The Philippines were like, we're out of contract. You want to be our men's soccer provider for the next year? And that's kind of how it happened. Unfortunately, because the women were so close to qualifying for the World Cup, Adidas took the women for this cycle and gave them basically template jerseys. So it's actually really a shame because the women could have been wearing the sickest World Cup jerseys in modern history. And instead they're not.
Bummer. Yeah. Speaking of jerseys, Pub League, you just gave me some descriptions of what people are thinking of, but this Pub League fall is starting.
Yeah. No, I can't actually say what's going on because we have special reveals for that. So I'm not going to spoil anything here.
You just gave me some descriptions.
Yeah. But we just did our draft last night. And so in the next few weeks, we will have our jersey reveals for all 10 teams. And as always, Pub League, I think, designs some really great jerseys, and I think they sometimes put Adidas to shame, if I may say so.
You may. You may say that. And we should also mention, obviously, the women's national team. They beat Vietnam a couple days ago when we got the Netherlands coming up, and the girls look good, man. I'm excited. I love the Women's World Cup. It's nice to actually have a consistently dominant team that plays great football, and you get to watch it and enjoy it, and everyone's happy. Like it's just fantastic, and it's been like my entire
life. A lot of really bad takes from people on the internet about games involving games and/or wars involving USA and Vietnam. In the lead up to and post game, it's just so. And what's interesting is they try to make it like a kind of conservative talking point, like we got back at them, and like it's like, yeah, because we lost the first one, morons.
Oh, gross.
So, yeah,
it's ridiculous. But to your point, Aaron, the Women's World Cup is one of my favorite things. I went to all 9 games in Vancouver in the 2015 World Cup.
So, yeah, you were both at the Nigeria game and missed the red card wedding because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one hell of a day of soccer, wasn't it?
So it's funny that you were in the stadium and I was in a bar just outside the stadium for the red card wedding. I went to the Japan game.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the women's game is very enjoyable for me. I've loved watching that. I always thought that the way that the women play in the soccer community is more like hockey, where they fight through tackles, they get up and continue playing a little bit more than I think if the men played the same way, it would be an even more enjoyable game all around. But I just love the style. Mm-hmm. We're very lucky. We've got eight players from the Reign in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Eight players. That is insane. Like, how are you not supporting local women's soccer? It's so good.
Yeah, we just talked about that last show too, and it's Pino's, swan song, right?
Let's not call her that, even though I know that's what one of her nicknames is. Pino means something else in slang terms. It means porn. So let's just call her Rapino.
There's a slang for porn.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Megan Rapinoe is in her swan song.
Yeah, this is literally her last World Cup as a player.
Let's win it, ladies. Yeah, as a player. Man, and some other dominating soccer happened since the last time we recorded, but also just before we started recording. His name is Lionel Messi. I'm about to tell you who he is.
The Thundercat?
Yes. Snarf, snarf. But Lionel Messi and Sergio Busquets and whatever. But Lionel Messi has made the Inter Miami a completely different team. Like, I mean, it's one thing that match against
Cruz Azul.
I wanted to say Monterrey, but that's who we were playing. That the way a walk-off free kick, and I mean, it's Messi. That's, you'd rather it be a free kick to end a match if you're going to write it, and that cliche is used so often that this couldn't have been, this was written in Hollywood or whatever, but literally I think it was. Like, how did that actually happen? And then to follow it up with a dominating team performance against an MLS team that I feel like Atlanta's been playing better as of late. Maybe I'm wrong.
Their defense has been hot garbage. Both defenses have been absolute hot garbage. But I thought it would be a little bit more of a competitive game.
Yeah, well,
poor Gar.
Maybe it was hot knife and with butter, or maybe they're that good now. But 4-0 is good. I mean, that's a good match against whether their team has bad defense or not. They're still a professional, MLS team playing starters.
Messi is still one of the top players in the world, period. However, I'm less inclined to worry as much about the Busquets and the Suarez's of the world coming in, because
I forgot about
historically, historically, those types of players come to MLS and it doesn't really work out as good when it comes to the grind of the league. So I think Messi will take the same approach as a David Villa, who came to play and compete. And since he's better than David Villa, we're in trouble. We're going to see a lot of numbers out of Messi. However, the rest of them, it's like, buyer beware. That's my thought.
Well, their offense looked good. They were connecting. That layoff by Joseph Martinez. Cameron, did you see that? Yeah, I thought that was almost more impressive than anything else. You're Joseph Martinez, and granted, he's coming off his, maybe not immediately coming off his ACL, but he's a different player than when he was, at arguably the best MLS scorer in one single. Well, he was. He has the record, right?
He may have gotten broken, but he had it at one point.
And before his ACL.
I think Bela may have taken it, didn't he?
Either way, those are some names.
Anyways.
But to be on this team and then, of course, Messi's on the field, but he's the GOAT. But you want to take yours when you get him too. And to lay it off like that, and it was the absolute right play to do. The whole defense sucked in right in front of the goal, and the goalkeeper followed Joseph too.
I mean, because he's so goal dangerous, you have to.
A great tapping. Yeah, I know, and it's just like and within a game and a half, a match and a half. Sorry, to have that kind of fluidity and understanding. Ball in was also great from I believe Taylor. I'm like, damn, they're a different team.
It's unfortunately Obadus on steroids. Yeah. You know, it's just like when you've got players that know how to play like that, people are going to drift towards Messi. And then when you've got the ability to, no one's marking Joseph Martinez. Okay. Well,
but what about the guy? I've never even heard of Robert something in today's Miami match who had he had two beautiful goals and almost had two more.
Taylor? Yeah.
Who's Robert Taylor?
Their left winger? Yeah. He like roofed it from like 3 yards off the line.
That was a pretty nice shot. But the thing, I think my point is kind of going the Gretzky, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. They're with Messi and Busquets, they're playing with a swagger that a Robert Taylor is going to go, fuck it, I'm going to take this shot.
Finland.
You know,
he scored a lot of goals in his career. So yeah, he's a dude. He's the dude until you get,
he's a dude.
You know, Messi in there.
Messi and Co. Yeah, but
there's
still,
so much Messi hate, and there's so much MLS hate right now from different people. Messi hate, I think, is largely from mainly Eastern Conference teams who are going to have to play against him. They're like, whatever. And then there's like, this just proves the MLS is a retirement league. You think Messi is close to retirement? No. Like, look at the way he's playing out there.
Well,
that's ignorant. It's ignorant. He might be a finalist for the Ballon d'Or, you know, the player of the year.
Yeah, that was not a good try.
I don't take French.
Golden Boot.
Casque-touffe. I don't know.
Ballon d'Or.
Ballon d'Or? I don't. I can spell it. So go to hell.
Ball on d'Or.
Ooh la la. Ooh la la. Okay. So the FIFA Player of the Year, he very well may be one of the top three finalists for that award at the next ceremony.
I mean, he's so good.
MLS is a retirement league. How many leagues would gladly take Messi now? So come on, you want to?
Well, yeah, exactly. Any team.
So let's be honest here.
Even like, if he was in a hover round, teams would still want him just for marketing. But even just 2 weeks ago, or whenever. Not 2 weeks ago, when he was announced, two shows ago, two or three, we mentioned he finished with 16 goals, 16 assists in 32 games.
Yeah.
He's not ready to collect, you know.
No, and
social
so, security. So.
Well, I guess he wouldn't get social security here, but you know what I mean?
If you want to hate on it, hate on it. And you have reasons to hate on it. You know, all of the manipulations and the roster machinations to make this happen. Okay, hate that.
Good lead in into
scuttlebutt. I don't think there's anything to criticize there. I've seen breakdowns. You got to remember, MLS roster rules are freaking ridiculous. They got 1 point.
Can I read it?
You have it? You have it there?
You want me to read the scuttlebutt?
No. I don't even know.
Cameron's like, you got the MLS roster rules? You're going to read
all of
them? Yeah,
go ahead. I'm going to read all of them.
Because I was going to respond. I don't even know what the scuttlebutt is. I was going to respond to what I've seen other people say and what Nick was saying.
So that basically Combat Wombat Esquire in our Discord mentions the clause
of
the
CBA. That's not. We're not there yet. That has nothing to do with Messi.
Oh, okay. I thought okay.
So, the Messi deal, they got $1.5 million from in TAM money from Montreal in a trade they made. So everything they've done is within the roster rules of the MLS, because you've got to remember, they could pay Messi $5 billion, but it's only going to count $600,000 against the cap. So the only question here about Inter Miami is they were under sanctions for having five DPs, and that was $2.1 million. So where did that other $600,000 come from? Plus, so it's almost like they got rid of that. So that's my problem, is the sanctions just kind of disappeared. But if you look at MLS roster rules and how all of this is broken down and the way they've let go of players to make room on their team, all of this, the Sounders could do this right now if they had the money.
That's why Miami has been so bad to start this season. Is they? It's my understanding that those sanctions were ending in the summer window. I believe so because they're running to the end of the sanctions, which is why they were so bad, because they knew
also
they were
probably saving money to sign Messi and all these other players.
So they just starved themselves, and now
Now the question is, are they far enough now down that they're not going to be able to make the playoffs? And this is all about building for next year? Or are they going to squeak in and then dominate throughout and have to play in Seattle for the final?
I'm here for the popcorn. To me,
you put butter on your popcorn, though, right?
I do, of course. Okay, good. But you got to remember, though, we took advantage of those roster rules for years because, hey, what's the common link here? Oh, yeah, you know, Chris Henderson.
We were constantly playing
players, you know,
down.
I mean,
I didn't think about
we were
that.
Players down from DP to TAM with TAM money all the time so that we could have extra DP.
Christopher.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, in our 2016 through 2019 range, right around the 2019 Cup when we won our second MLS Cup, I remember taking a look, and we had more TAM-level players than anyone else in the league because we did that. We were using TAM on our third-string center back. Our third-choice center back, Roman Torres, because it was Roman, Kim Kihi, and Chad Marshall.
Those were the days.
I know, right?
Those were the days.
But the thing is, though, no other teams were using TAM on bench players. Like, we had that luxury because we were doing the right thing. So I don't doubt that Chris Henderson largely is nailing that part of his job. You got to remember, the other thing is, you're a soccer player and you have an opportunity to play with Messi. You might have to take a little bit of a pay cut to do so. Are you going to do that?
Yeah. Plus, you get to be in Miami, which for a lot of people, especially from abroad, Miami is very, very popular, and probably more popular than New York or L.A.
Or Vegas.
Especially if you're a Latin and Central American or South American. Absolutely. 100%.
And can you imagine being a teammate of Messi in Miami? All the parties you get to go to that a month ago you wouldn't be recognized in the walking down the city. And actually I had a pillow thought. Imagine being an inaugural season ticket holder for Miami, not knowing any of this shit's going to go down. And I presume, and I could be wrong, and if they basically didn't grandfather in season ticket holders now before they're literally the hottest ticket in town, everyone wants to be at a Miami game. Everyone wants to see that first game.
Like, you don't see, LeBron. Serena,
it's a Laker game.
It's bigger than a Laker game. Everyone from everywhere.
It wouldn't have been bigger than a Laker game when Kobe was around.
I disagree. Messi is a bigger star than all of our American stars combined.
Messi has more Instagram followers. Yes, Messi has more Instagram followers than every NFL team combined, I believe.
See, height doesn't matter.
So clearly, you're saying you could play with Messi?
No, I just meant if you're 5'3". Doesn't matter.
Wasn't he born with a micropenis too?
Just in general. Whoa. No. Well, actually, his story's pretty cool. And
Nick, I don't know where this is going, so I'm just going to sit back
and not going to talk about his penis. His Lionel.
Then what?
Messy.
Snarf!
No, but he had I don't know if it was a growth defect or something like that.
Yeah, he had was it thyroid or pineal, whatever that gland is right there that helps you with growth, was defected. Like, so he had to get
treatment. Yeah, and so Barcelona funded his surgery. Like that, took like a growth. I don't know what it is. I'm
no, you're right.
But that's how he began. That's why he was so loyal to Barcelona.
He'd been with them since he was a little kid.
Is that? Yeah. So I think that is crazy. And then to become the athlete of all time, basically, and now he's in Miami. I mean, the city is a great city. Well, I don't know about that, but a landing spot.
Here's the thing: am I jealous? Yes, but ultimately, it is so good for our league. because all it is doing is putting more and more eyes on our league. It's growing the game worldwide because people want to see it. It's doing what the Sounders wanted to do by quote unquote winning the Club World Cup, which obviously we didn't. And instead using a player to raise it to other levels. The way I've been thinking about it is when the Mariners gave Ichiro his final contract before they traded him away, they way overpaid. He was past his prime compared to where he was at that point, but they made so much money in t-shirt sales, so much money in jersey sales, so much money in even just for Seattle and people coming here. Yeah.
They still
That it made sense. So like, there's no way
you can go into the team store and Ichiro.
Yeah, so there's no way Messi is going to play well enough that he deserves that contract from a play schedule, even if he's the best player in the league. However, because of everything else it does, especially for the vision on the league, I think that's why the league is willing to throw down on it, is to make sure that it grows the sport for everyone. Now, the fans are getting gouged because, like you were talking about, tickets. Every team that he's playing is jacking up ticket prices. Even Charlotte has jacked up their ticket prices on everyone, including away supporters, even though the league is trying to not get them to do that. And guess what? Messi, mainly because much like all these other players, they're little tiny babies who don't understand actual studies on turf. He's not going to play in Charlotte because they have turf. So all these people just paid a bunch of money just to see Messi sit on the bench and not play and maybe wave at them.
So you mentioned something about supporters groups. You're saying they're... Explain why that supporters groups tickets are always equal for other supporters groups.
When they're not... Usually it's a quid pro quo. So if one team charges X amount, the other team will charge the same. That has changed with some of these new teams that don't know about soccer culture, like Austin, like Charlotte, like, Atlanta, less so, but in the first year, maybe. And Austin was charging like $70 for away tickets. So it's insane.
Cause they're like, well, we would sell those tickets out to our supporters anyway.
But that's not how it works. They're required by the league. They also won't... Austin won't set aside tickets unless you have a big group of people, and they're required by the league to have, I think it's at least 100 set aside in every single match for away supporters, whether or not they're used. And also they have to.
So every club supporter has an opportunity group has an opportunity to bring 100 people to every
opportunity. It's also, if you bring 20, you need a buffer.
You could have one and they still have to save those 100 seats, but a lot of teams don't do that and get fined. So there's this huge, we'll say MLS 3.0, meaning those teams I just mentioned, and then all the teams from us and before. There's a huge disconnect because those new teams care about money and not creating fan culture.
I mean, to be fair, they also paid $300 million dollars for their franchise I am not justifying it. I am a huge proponent of soccer for all. Everything,
but they're buying into this
way higher than any of the other teams.
Our league. Yeah. They're buying into our league. So
they want to maximize.
Yeah, I think we paid $30 million. I feel like our expansion fee was $30 million the year before. Toronto was like $9 million.
So,
well, we bought in 2008.
Yeah.
It was better back then.
I wonder if we did inflation dollars for the day, what that would equal. I'll look that up while we keep talking. But yeah, I mean, so now
financial jokes.
The price jacking up even further for this. And I don't actually have a problem with fans selling their tickets at a higher price. I do have a problem with the team doing it.
That's fair.
I will say, though, the one thing that I am excited about, let's look at the history of MLS. When David Beckham came into the league, we created a rule for him to bring him into the league that led to the DP rule, where at the time you could have one DP per team, and that evolved up to three DPs as we know today. Around 2015, when the Galaxy were still at the height of their power and they wanted to bring Omar Gonzalez back into the league, but they didn't have space for him, because they had three DPs already, Donovan Keane, and I wouldn't be able to tell you the third one, maybe Leonardo. I can't quite remember. Anyways.
Donovan, you mean Robbie Keane?
Oh, I do mean Robbie Keane. Mr. Shouty Pointy.
Summer Salty.
You're not wrong.
Pointy Whiny.
You're not wrong.
But so when they had three DPs, they didn't have the ability. Damn it. you eat shit for breakfast?
Oh, no, no. You gotta quote it right.
Pieces
of shit. You gotta quote it right.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast.
Okay. I stand corrected. They instituted the TAM rule. Well, what happened with the TAM rule? The quality of the league got better. Undoubtedly, we got to sign these players that we never would have brought into the league beforehand. You know, players like, Svensson, captain of a World Cup squad.
Ozzy was paid down from DP to TAM.
Yeah, I mean, even players like, you know, like our MLS Cup MVP. Oh my God, number eight. Then he left back for Spain.
Victor?
Thank you, Victor Rodriguez. Thank you. I'm like, why am I drawing a blank suddenly? But no, so ultimately, it opened up more roster regulations. Keep in mind, right before the TAM rule, I used to manage a affordable housing apartment building. Dylan Remick qualified to live in my affordable housing because he was paid such low wages at that time.
I want to say it was between 40,000, 15,000 to 18,000.
Yeah, because that was before the income.
He might have made that much, but that was minimum wage. Like there was players. That's why all the players lived together usually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. So the TAM. So what I'm getting at is, I welcome Messi. I welcome this roster manipulations that's going on in Miami, because okay, you bring in Messi, the other teams are gonna understand. But when you start doing this stuff to bring in all the other people, it's going to rising tide raise all ships. Now the other teams are going to be like, okay, well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I guess I'm just full of, you know.
Yeah, I was liking the rising ships on Scuttlebutt. Thanks, my friend.
But it's going to grow.
I agree with you to an extent. Here's what I do see, though, is a rising tide doesn't raise all ships. It raised those with good boats and those with rinky dinky ooh, boats and holes in them.
Deep holes.
That's why the rising tides is raised.
Do you think I give a shit about Dallas because they don't want to spend money and they're cheap? Well, that's their problem.
But here's the thing is,
the league does need to be smaller.
It's going to keep growing.
Trim the fat.
But here's the thing, we have to remember, the Sounders are no longer the Habs. We are just under the Habs. We kind of have. We're not outspending Miami, New York, LA, Toronto. We are the middle class now in a league that has mainly upper and lower class teams. So we will be perennial playoff contenders, but unless we have owners willing to put money into it, we're going to end up being the Seattle Mariners. And that's a long-term goal I'm afraid about with Messi coming in. But at the same time, I welcome it because I would rather see our league grow than have our team always be the champion.
I think to a point you've got a point. We will never be one of the top five spending teams ever again. I don't see that happen. However, we've always spent money wisely, and as long as
that's what Garth said.
Yeah. And he's not wrong. But I think if we can continue to grow our academy, and I think if we can continue to grow our scouting department, I think it's going to really help. Because I mean, look at some of the players that we really, you know, don't want to lose right now. Players that, hey, if you got to blow everything up,
Leo Chu,
who do you want to hold on to? You're talking about players like for me, obviously Obed Vargas, Jordan Christian, you know, and a lot of these players who I know we drafted Christian, but. That's thing, those roster manipulations, we didn't bring him in as a signing. And that's where the league is going towards with the Habs, is the bringing in these high price signings. So those other ways of bringing in players, the draft or the homegrowns, that's going to become more and more important. The draft is pretty much garbage, but the homegrowns in particular,
and we haven't nailed on. And I think homegrowns replaced. I mean, Danny Leyva's good. Don't get me wrong, and could become a solid starter in this league. Atencio shows signs that he could be more than a solid starter in this league.
I think Reed Baker-Whiting.
He's not so far. So because I think part of that is the way he's being managed as a player, where they're throwing him at right back or right mid.
I think that's Yeah, that's,
but a lot of that's because he is not fast enough to be a right mid. He needs more space in front of him to run with to get the speed.
True, but you got to also count with that Jackson Reagan. Well, you got to count Jackson Reagan because we let him go to the fire.
Ultimately, they let him go to us. They said you can go play for them, and then they cut him later. So we had moved on from him.
True.
So, conductor's raising his hand.
God,
I think we are talking a lot about the Sounders, which means if you can hear it, you can hear the drums starting. It's time to talk some Sounders. Net, 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 net. All right. Let's get back to the Sounders here, okay? So, we're talking about homegrown players, yada, yada, yada. Let's talk about, and we can get back to it, because maybe that's some solutions to what we need to get addressed here. But I want to look back on our Discord. Combat Wombat Esquire. This is how we're going to kick it off. Actually, maybe? No. We're starting with the big one. It's actually only a sentence for me to read, not a paragraph. So Combat Wombat, we'll get to you a little bit later, because this is about that's about a bear, one individual player. But I want to go with Rick Sportsfeed here. We're in free fall. How will we know when we've hit rock bottom? Do you guys believe we're in free fall after what just happened in Real Salt Lake and Leagues Cup? So it doesn't affect where we are in the league right now. We can forget about points, but Leagues Cup, that performance was terrible. I'm just going to say it. And Cameron, I know you agree. And Nick, I presume you do. Are we in free fall?
I see Nick shaking his head no, so I'm going to go first so that he can bring some positivity. Yeah. Mester needs to be fired immediately. This has gone on too far, too long. We are lucky to be in fourth place. We're not making the playoffs. It only gets harder from here. We have the talent.
Only 10 matches left.
We have the talent. There's something wrong in the coach's room. I don't know if it's they can't figure out the formation for the players that we have there. I don't know if it's that they can't figure out where the best place to put players is. But Schmetzer has talked about the fact that Freddie, the coach, sits upstairs for the first half and comes down at halftime and gives him, okay, this is how we have to change. And early in the season, those changes worked. They're not working anymore. There is something seriously wrong here. And this does not, for all the talent we have, for the fact that there was a 5-minute period where we had 4 minutes and 50 seconds of possession against Dallas, we can't score. And we looked helpless against Salt Lake. They spent the entire week selling us on the fact that this is a new start. This is where the season starts over. This is where the fact that we're going to shine. We have our players back. It's going to be great. And this was the worst performance probably of all time, excluding Manchester United 5-0 loss and at Portland earlier this year, which is the giving up all those goals in 19 minutes is the worst performance in Sounders history in my mind.
Yeah, I was...
No, Kansas City 2016.
Ooh, that's bad. I
I think that game was better than these ones. Like, it was awful.
You mean the game that got Ziggy Schmid fired? And
that was the final straw. That was not a bad game.
This feels... you guys, this kind of feels like that.
Well, it feels worse than that.
2016 summer. It's a different canvas.
We're more talented kind of
MLS world right now. There's other shit going on in the horizon of MLS. It's kind of shiny and flashy and what's going on. And we look like we've been gut punched for 3 months and can't stand up straight. And I don't mean that like the players look physically tired or anything. I just mean like if you were to just look at our team, our club as a whole, and like fan base, I feel gut punched.
I don't want to watch. We talked about it last time. I don't want to watch Sounder. I stopped watching the last match and got in my car and drove home once we went down 2-0. Because once it was 1-0, I knew the game was over.
Dude, I forget that you go to like every game, and I don't really get to do that as much anymore. So I'm like picturing myself at home when you said I stopped watching. Like, okay, I changed turned the TV off or changed the channel. I'm like, why did you just leave your house.
I was at my parents' house and I got my nephew and we left. And granted, I still listened to it because I wanted to support Jackson Phelps, who did an amazing job. That, I mean, he was such a natural. I'm sad he didn't get to go to a goal call. And I know, I mean, I've talked to him about it. He's like, look, Danny Jackson.
Goo Goo Dolls?
He didn't get to
go to a goal call. What did you say?
That he didn't get to do a goal score.
But and he is very humble, Jackson, and this is nothing against Danny Jackson, because Danny Jackson is great at his job. And Jackson said, you know, I never would want to supplant Danny Jackson and take his job away from him, because Danny Jackson is the man. And while that's true, I'm biased, and Jackson was a natural. Jackson was, I mean, I literally paused Apple TV until I lined them up and listened to Jackson call the game while it was on. So it was perfectly lined up. And to have him there with Pete Fewing, who is his longtime partner, former coach of Seattle University, which, by the way, we figured out why the coach of Ballard FC quit. He's the new coach at Seattle U. So that, remember when we didn't know why he was leaving? That's why.
And what we said, he must have been going.
He did. But Coach Fewing's great. Like, my cousin's husband played for him and has his number retired at
local legend.
Seattle U.
And Jason Farrell, by the way.
Former coach of Ballard, yes. I want to congratulate Jackson. And just, if you didn't get a chance to hear that call, if he ever gets the opportunity again, do it, because it was natural in the way that Arlo White felt right. If Jackson could get that role, especially at his younger age compared to us, he's not that much younger, but he could be the guy calling games for the Sounders for the rest of his life. Like, that's how good he is.
Well, knowing Jackson, he'd be very happy with that.
Get a chance to listen as well. So I agree with you. It sounded really good. You know, I'm very, very.
His only mistake is he kept calling Monterey Montreal, but we'll forgive him for that.
Oh no!
it's a team in another country.
Well, North America, close to America. That's all we care about here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure I heard him. When he did that around the 35th minute and started going USA in the middle of the broadcast, I was like, okay, a little weird, but all right, go for it. It was weird.
No, yeah, it was great.
But, you know.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow. Okay. I'm gonna chat a little bit with a little bit of positivity. I'm gonna bring a little positivity.
Yeah, bring it.
You mentioned earlier. Oh well, what happened at the beginning of the season? We were doing great. You know, when he'd come down at halftime and make some changes and things would work. Yeah, well, what happened was we had a healthy squad. Now, granted, this game doesn't do much to help that theory, but it's one game in a place that we have historically sucked. I think the last time we won once in the last, 18 times in Salt Lake?
That historically, everyone, they've been unbeaten in 20 of their last 24 matches or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, one, keep in mind that, you know, think it's bad in Colorado at another 1,500 feet. You know, it sucks.
And it was 100 degrees. It was 99 degrees.
Which also, by the way, is a common factor for one of the other worst games in Sounder history. That Kansas City game was over 100 degrees on the field. So it could be a correlation that we don't play well in hot weather. We do live in Seattle.
Portland was pretty comfortable. And that was recent. I'm sorry. And by the way, Rui Diaz was not available earlier this year.
No, but...
That's a designated player that was unavailable.
No, you are right. And this is not perfect, but for large swaps of the last third of the season... We have had multiple people.
I agree. And in that time, there's been times where we've looked like the best team in the league. We just couldn't score. But that's the problem.
That's been our problem up until this match, in my opinion. Yeah.
So I'm not doom and gloom. We're going to miss the playoffs. However, I'm not excited about oh man, we're cup contenders. Yeah. We're not cup contenders the way we're playing right now.
Turn it around, we are. No.
We're not, but we're also not going to miss the playoffs. Now, with that said, I think I'm very curious to see how we react in the next two games. I don't want us flaming out in the group stage of League's Cup.
It's going to be really hard not to at this point.
Goal differential is what really hurts us. I think allowing the third goal would be rough.
That's what I'm
thinking. But here's the thing. If we right the ship a tiny bit, yeah, we're making the playoffs. We're only 8 points above the playoff line.
Yeah, it's a couple of bad weeks.
This is true.
We've also only been 8 to 12 points above the playoff line for the last 2 months. For whatever reason, the people around us keep losing.
I know. This
is a difficult league, and teams are getting better. Look at who RSL just signed. He scored a wonder goal. Chicho Arango. You know what I mean? The teams are getting better.
And we're not. That's my problem is we can't add because of the way our roster structure is. Now, any fans will tell you.
We knew that.
Fans will tell you. Anyone that went to the they had an open practice for fans, season ticket holders who were invited, that at that practice, our GM said that the roster is going to look very – no, that's our
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's our president.
Yes.
Our GM, yes. Craig Weibel, said that next year our roster will look very different. And here's why. Because you can't have a top-heavy roster where the top people aren't performing. This doesn't mean Ruidíaz is going to be gone. This doesn't mean Nico is going to be gone. But if you can't restructure those contracts, unfortunately, they will be. I think we've floated.
Well, Nico's not a restructure. Right, Nico's out of contract.
I'm assuming that we'll try to bring him back at a much lesser number.
Yeah, he'll be offered something.
And hopefully because he wants to be here, he can go somewhere else and make more money, but I hope he stays and becomes that super sub that will win us many, many games.
I want him to be our coach.
That's the other thing we don't have. Remember when Siggy got fired, everything changed when Nico came in and turned off the music and said, why are you all happy? We're losing. And this is something that plagued us last year where players just didn't care because we had already won the Champions League. And they were just like, they weren't hurting, they weren't having any problem with the losses because they were like, well, we did what we needed to do. And we need someone to come in that straightens up this team and gets them to stop messing around. This is something that on the other, our rival podcast with Steve Zakuani and Brad Evans. No, I'm friendly with Steve and I like Brad a lot. So, I'm just mad that Keeley Dunning won't let me come on, but
they love me.
I think I was going on to talk Alliance Council stuff.
They want some ratings. You bring Aaron Lingley on the side by side.
I don't know. I don't see an end to our suffering this year. Doesn't mean we can't pull together a decent season at the end, but our roster construction is just such that we don't have a choice. Like, we are paying too much money for players that are not producing based on what they're being paid. And that just means you're not, unless you have a Russell Wilson type young $300,000 player, it's not going to work. So.
We did have in our, we had a couple of those in our 2019, to 2022 run with Jordan, Christian Roldan, with New Who. Yeah. And so that happened. So now we need those young players to step up. And Jackson Reagan, I think, is doing a great job of that as a center back. He's arguably he's a starter on most teams in the league. He's arguably a borderline all-star. He's gonna eventually make an all-star roster. I do believe that.
And he's playing better than Neymar now.
Big time.
In my opinion. Yeah.
But I guess the thing is, like, we knew going into this, our roster was gonna be in trouble with flexibility once we went for Champions League last year. And we're seeing that play out. It was alluded to, and here it is. I guess that's all I'll say on that.
So I'm going to open up the MLS roster rule book again, page 1. Combat Wombat Esquire. This is from our Scuttlebutt Discord. Link is in the show description. All right, get ready, children. I'm thinking about this clause from the CBA. Quote, the league will determine, in its discretion, a player's salary budget charge, according to the following formula, provided, however, that MLS retains discretion to a lower player's salary budget charge in individual cases, end quote. And how it relates to the list from transfer market, the list from free agents sorted by market value descending. So basically, well, I'll finish it. I suspect MLS has been exercising that CBA clause to allow Miami to sign the Boca seniors. Do you think there are any free agents on that list that MLS would be willing to lower their cap hit to get the MLS and would also significantly improve the Sounders? So he gives a list of free agents. We don't need to go over those. But I get his point regarding the clause. I'm going to close the MLS roster rulebook because I've never read it and I'm not going to. But both of you understand that scuttlebutt more than I do, and I want to hear your opinion.
First, I think it's a little bit of a flawed premise, which Cameron actually alluded to earlier in our discussion talking about Miami, where they were doing the rosters in the right way. So the exercising the CBA clause to allow Miami to sign the Boca seniors, that's not how they're signing these Boca seniors. So that kind of makes the rest of it irrelevant. However, for the sake of going through with this conversation, in that free agent list, I don't think that's what we're looking at. I think we're going to have to just expect that our next major signing isn't going to be in the winter. It will be next summer when we will get our next Nico Raul level DP, someone that's going to be a cornerstone of our cornerstone of our flag station. Now I'm mixing up the metaphors again.
I think you can just say your cornerstone.
Yeah, I know. I should have just started there and
the
left
top
it there.
Of the arch keeps it all together.
That's keystone, not cornerstone. See, so we're all screwed up. But
and I that's think been a great episode of Sounder Scuttlebutt. We're out.
We are. I think we're going to see that next person who's going to fill that role, the person that's supposed to be the key player in our roster, will probably not come in the winter window. It will probably come in the summer window. That's my suspicion.
Yeah, I think.
And your suspicion is what will significantly improve the Sounders based.
I mean, to a degree, but there's going to be significant moves in the winter. And if someone were to become available in the winter, I don't think they wouldn't sign them. The thing is, you get a player cheaper in the summer because they're generally either A, out of contract, or B, fully through a year of the contract. So you're not paying for an extra half year.
And that team, usually we take advantage of teams who are maybe getting relegated or teams that have their eye on a new shiny and need to change out that roster and are more willing to let those players go. So it just lines up usually more favorably to not overpay for those kind of players, which is the Sounders' MO.
But who used to look for those players? What was the last signing we've had that was impactful? Was it Rui?
JP,
yeah, I mean, legit.
But here's the thing:
and who scouted him?
Well, probably
JP.
Actually Sean Henderson, Chris Henderson's brother, who's still our scout. So, but here's the thing: what we need to find out is once we have we're an aging roster, and once we either restructure or move on from these players, what is Craig Weibel's impact on the team? This is not a Craig Weibel team right now. This is a Garth Lagerwey team, I love Garth, that's obviously. Fair, yeah. So I'm not saying that's why we're bad. It's that they made a choice to not move players at the end of last season because they had won us the championship, and they want players on our team to feel, meaning the Club World Cup champ. I mean the CONCACAF champ. And they wanted they want players to feel like if you will succeed here, you will be compensated. Now, I don't think you could have predicted that Rui Diaz was going to be hurt every game. I think the only factor that we had to worry about was Nico and whether or not he was going to be on the field. So this is new stuff they didn't expect to come up. If we had had Rui Diaz this whole season, we would be in first or second, without a doubt.
That's fair. I do better plan B planning in FIFA on Xbox though.
And right.
I'm usually prepared for my like one other thing.
I also bring Messi and Ronaldo to the Sounders on free transfers, and I ask Garth Lagerwey, how come
I also move the Sounders
to
Championship.
I actually usually start them down in the second League too, but I specifically asked Garth, well, on FIFA, I literally asked Garth this. On FIFA, I brought in Ronaldo and Messi on free transfers. Why can't you do that? And he laughed so hard. And then he said, my kids are starting to play FIFA and I think they're coming for my job.
We are the equivalent right now. I feel like we're the equivalent of the 2015 Sounders team, 1 year after winning the Supporters Shield and the US Open Cup. Mm-hmm. And like you said, new GM comes in. And in that case, it was Garth. But we signed four players in that offseason that were not Garth signings. And we signed Freeburg, Ivan Schitz, Valdez, and Torres. So right now, Garth.
Those were all Garth.
No, well, they were technically under Garth's
thing,
but that's where they rest in my mind. Bring in people where all the work to actually sign go on for months and months before that.
So that would have been Adrian.
It was Adrian, yeah. And Ziggy. That was also
that Ziggy wanted control.
Well, keep in mind what was going on when that happened, because we brought in also Tomas. Also, Tomas was a discovery signer.
My friend used to party with him out in Ballard.
Jaguar.
He was beginning English.
Now, with that said, so Freeburg was signed at the end of July. Ivan Schitz, Valdez, and Torres were signed in August, within a week of each other in August. What happened in June of 2015? Red card wedding. Dempsey out, Oba out with injuries and suspensions, and we panicked. So I think this club is very wary, because they have since said that that summer we did panic buy, and that kind of tied us up for a little bit, and it really was Nico turning it all around. So I think right now you're not going to see the team do a panic buy. They're going to be calculated. They're going to be smart. And I think Craig Weibel is not going to make those mistakes. I know Adrian, who's going to write those checks, is going to have that in the back of his mind. And they're going to reference that, because this team learns from things. So I just want to give that context there, because I do think that this team feels very much like that post red card wedding 2015 squad.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the other thing that a lot of people are missing is Arriaga was obviously the first piece to go, but he's hurt, so he can't. That would have freed up $600,000, which we could have signed one to two players, or a DP that we pay down to TAM level with. Like, we could have signed an impact player if he weren't hurt. Also,
I think that was you were absolutely right that was the measured thing to not sell him earlier in the year to hedge our bets, but to sell him in the summer, and he just got hurt at the wrong time.
I wanted him.
So we were buying in 2008, but now it's 2009, and we can't sell him.
Here's the other thing, and this is something that people are not going to like to hear, and I have one of his jerseys, so I'm. It's painful for me to say this. And I think this is a huge mistake from Craig Weibel, because he says he's getting calls for him and refusing to answer them. We should have sold Nuhu in this window. Nuhu is not performing up to his contract. He's a liability on the field at times. More importantly, he's a freaking baby. He whines, he complains, he yells. And I think the drop off between him and Baker versus the quality of player we could bring in for the amount of his roster spot is I think we get more bonus out of bringing in another striker than we, or another center attacking mid than we were versus
Hebert, Rui Diaz.
Hebert becomes a bench player then. I mean, we can have that Hebert Montero discussion I've been having on the internet.
Becomes? But,
I mean, stays like only on the bench. He comes in as emergency situations only. So, he becomes Tevez essentially, but yeah, I think we needed to move on from Nuhu and Arriaga in order to make this team a championship team, and we didn't do it. One, Nuhu had I don't think anyone takes Nuhu at this point, because they don't know what the long term effects of his malaria is, and also he was at his height when he locked down Mo Salah, and it's never going to be that way again. So.
Yeah, that was obviously his peak. Internationally, people knew who.
And I love Nohu, don't get me wrong.
Nohu. But he was.
I'm just kind of over his antics because he's not the player he used to be. He has great runs that wow us, but then he doesn't get the ball to where it needs to go. I think.
Would you say he's half the man he used to be?
I am going to see them in a few weeks.
How?
They're playing opening for Smashing Pumpkins.
Nirvana?
No, half the man he used to be, Stone Temple Pilots, bro.
It's not, yeah. But it's okay because both have. Never mind. I'm just
going
to let that one sit.
They both, well, only one of them has never mind.
Touche, but you know, I'm just going to crack another beer and
both
not
of them
make
have hologram
a.
Singers. No, I don't know who sings for Stone Temple Pilots.
Half the man I used to be, song by Nirvana. One.
No, there's not one. Wait,
that's not a real
no.
thing.
No. No. Is that your Shazam? What was that stream? The Napster? Did
Man,
you get that off of Napster?
I thought I was getting a Weezer record that was unreleased one time and it was just Pavement. I was so upset. I love Pavement, don't get me wrong, but I thought I was getting that unreleased Weezer record.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen. Ultimately, I think you're right that we might have missed the window to sell. I do also think though that there might still be a sale in the future. We'll see what happens. I would not be surprised. I'm not expecting it, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I feel like if there's one thing we know, right now we're wounded. And they always say, take time with a wounded hand, because I like to heal.
Is Scott Weiland still alive?
He is much not alive.
So I don't know how they're touring. But then again, I went to an Atmosphere conference.
I'm telling you what the internet says about all this stuff. Like how wrong the internet can be.
So I went and saw Atmosphere the other day with Sir Nicholas here. And Sublime played without
Sir Nix-a-Lot. Sorry.
No, what was really funny is he's saying I went and saw Atmosphere. I'm like, in my head, oh yeah, I went to that too.
He
drove him to the show.
He took me to see Atmosphere, and I saw Sublime perform without Bradley. So these bands just, when you're that big, you just pick up a new singer at some point. In fact, here's one that I know we're off in a music land in this, but you know what? This is Seattle. All of us love music. Seattle music. Brandi Carlile wants to form and be the singer of Soundgarden now, which is would be absolutely awesome. I think that would be so cool.
She's played a few
one-off songs awesome. With them. So if they could just, even if it's just a tour, it would be so cool. Soundgarden was the first show I saw, like without parental supervision. It was Soundgarden, Screaming Trees, Reverend Horton Heat, and UMI on August 13th, 1994 at Memorial Stadium.
A few RIPs in that group right there.
Right.
Oh, man.
Sounders. Yeah, that's woo!
Actually, so we were just talking about Hebert for a second, and Combat Wombat. We already gave you pretty much 20 minutes, so I'm not going to read this whole thing. But he lists Hebert as what?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking to me. Hebert as he's leading the league in big chances missed. And he brings up the correlation of you don't want to see a high XG versus your G, which he sits at 6.6 expected goals to his 2.
That's correct.
Do you think Hebert is going to continue to do that? Or do you think Hebert is going to regress to the mean this season, this postseason, next season with his next club? Can I speak on this real quick?
Because I've been arguing with the internet all day for the last 2 days about this. 8.25 times higher expected goals than Freddie. Basically the same, slightly like 0.04 different, like 4/100ths or thousandths or whatever difference on goals per 90. Someone said, why aren't we playing Freddie at striker and we're playing Hebert? And Freddie looks way more goal dangerous. I said, no. One, Freddie's not a striker anymore. He's either a false nine or a center attacking mid that sits in the pocket right behind the striker. If you play two forwards, you have two strikers, well, one striker and one forward, he can play right there in the pocket and he'll be great. But that he doesn't play striker anymore. Secondly, Freddie's expected goal number to me is important because that means Hebert is in the right place and it's just not finishing for whatever reason. Of course, two of those came in that first game. And so someone was like, well, that's just the eye test then. That he's getting in the right place. I said, no, the stats bear out. He should have scored in that situation. To me, expected goals, it's easier to score goals when you have a high expectancy of goals than it is when you have a low expectancy of goals. Because if you have no expectancy of goals, there's no way a goal can go in. So Hebert would be more likely to score. Now, we may have talked about this on the show, but it also may have been off since I talked to both of you lots of times away from this podcast. Maybe we should just record all our conversations from now on and just put them up as this podcast.
What could go wrong?
It's a lot of editing, guys.
Especially how many times have I had to mute Nick inside of a Zoom room? But more importantly, the other thing I think we're seeing with Hebert and why he looked so much more goal dangerous to the eye before versus now is he's having to drop back and shoot rather than having the ball cross to him a lot. Now, there's been some crosses like the one where he dropped back and it went over. It's because without Christian, Alex Roldan has regressed as a player. And he's not getting his crosses over the top anymore. They're falling short and being cleared away. And I wonder if he would actually have a lot more goals if Alex were still able to cross. Now, I think that's fixable, but I also don't think the Sounders are focusing on that as much as they used to, because they're really playing a lot through, without Christian, they're playing a lot through the other side and through Chu rather than playing to the right. So I wonder if that changes anything. But I go back. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, part of it, I think. Well, yeah, no, part of it is definitely that Chu has been a good revelation this year. At the same time, when Roldan was out, Roldan, however, does all that dirty work, does all that hard work. So he makes defenders have to track him and follow him, leaving Hebert open in those pockets.
And leaving his brother open to make those crosses in those pockets.
100%. So you know, we kind of talked a little bit about that with Joseph Martinez and Messi. Of course, I'm not comparing the two necessarily, but it's the same principle. Is if you're making these dangerous runs, you're drawing defenders to you to make accountable, which opens up the rest of the offense. And so that's part of the reason why I am a big Hebert supporter. I want him first off the bench. If Raul
Wait. Are you an Hebert supporter, or do you think he's just the right choice off the bench? I'm going to separate those two.
No, well,
good point.
Okay. I think Raul is your starter if Raul is healthy, because we do not have a two forward setup. So we are not running a situation where they're both starting. Now,
why can't we should?
Okay, you know what? Okay, so in our current formation, I will say I want Hebert being the first person off the bench because we have not shown the propensity to do two forward setups. Now, I would
and
not
to Cameron's expected goals point.
Well, no, that passes my eye test, which is he's a much better version of Nelson Valdez. I loved what Nelson Valdez did.
And shout out to Combat Wombat for the very end, in parentheses, of his own post about the scuttlebutt. Personally, I'm hoping for Hebert to pull a Nelson.
In the playoffs, he's going to score a bunch of goals.
I mean, help lead us to, but
have
but
beautiful abs.
The best hair in the game.
I mean, I still have that magazine company. Brad Evans has something to say about that.
Brad's abs are better, but I think Nelson's hair is better.
Cameron was at a pool with Brad like a week ago, so he's still in the fallout.
We're talking peak 2014 U.S. Open Cup. You know, Brad. I mean, you know, age gets us all. That counts.
Did they have like a Seattle version of the body?
Yeah, it was Zach Scott, Nelson Valdez, and
Trevor Mears. Soccer players, man, they are attractive.
And you know what? I am 100% confident in my sexuality to be able to remember these things because that was a beautiful magazine company cover. They're beautiful people. There are no.
And I'm not going to do my Marilyn Manson impression. I was about to try to do it.
We had to forget about him. There are no Ryan Reynolds in Amityville Horror.
Is Marilyn Manson still alive?
Not in the public sphere.
Yeah, and wasn't he in the Wonder Years?
He was Paul from the Wonder Years. That's right.
By the way, quick side note. How was it in in an era before the internet, how did we all, I grew up in upstate New York, you grew up in Washington, and you know the same rumor that
Paul,
I know.
Paul from the Wonder Years became Marilyn Manson. Years. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated by that etymology that stuff that happened before.
Wait, yes. Really?
No, it wasn't him. That was the rumor.
No, but that was the rumor.
Did you also find a stash of porn VHS in the woods?
Ray Park on Magnolia. That wasn't a video. Ray Park and Magnolia. It wasn't a video, though. It was literally a Playboy magazine.
We need to find young children to pass our porn along. So there's just all these men going into the woods and putting their used porn. These
horny little trolls.
To us, the younger generation. This is wild. But that's another thing.
I grew up in a town of 2000. That's another thing that's everywhere. Town of 2000, Riverside Drive, the crick. Right over there, in the woods, there was like a tin box.
Is that the guy or the park?
No, we're the crick. Wow. Now the question is, were they hiding it there for themselves and we stole it, or were they passing it along to us in some sort of Johnny Appleseed spreading of the pornography?
It was a Playboy from 1977.
I believe it's past the statute of limitations, but when I was 18 and was legal to buy that, I bought
Cameron. Shut him up. You're the lawyer. If it's just in case it gets something.
I bought the Spice Girl.
Let's save it for off mic, Nick.
And then Candy happened. No, yeah. Let's just cut that whole section out.
I think we can't just say on a podcast, especially that you're not on. I think we're beyond the statute of limitations. So let me just roll down the hill. Parking brake.
In 1986, I murdered my whole family with a butter knife.
Actually, you're not going to believe this.
Wait, you stop it.
As your attorney, I advise you to stop talking now.
Can we sidebar this, Your Honor?
I can't. In 1986, I released the parking brake to my parents' car and crashed it. Thank God.
Do they know that? Okay.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yes, because my mom can't chase
like, me. Do they know that? You're still a lawyer until the last second. Do they know that?
Okay, moving on.
A Bear, score more goals. You're showing
you can. But he needs service. And here's the other thing about. Is the service that is going now, Chu is no longer passing it to, well, he is sometimes, but he's passing it to the second runner now. And so that wouldn't be A Bear anyway. Mm-hmm.
So that put him into a position. He's trying to get in a position to also receive a pass and do something with it. I think he's trying to do a lot more than he needs to. He's just not getting the players around him to pull that defense.
But A-Bear is pulling that defense forward, allowing for that Chew pass to come behind, and then there just needs to be someone there.
I agree with that. So we need to wrap this up because...
we're getting loopy, I think.
We're getting loopy. All right. It is Tuesday night. The 25th of July. Usually, you start the show with that.
Yeah, before we leave, can we give predictions for the upcoming match against Monterey?
Well, that's what I want to say. We need to still cap this episode. We haven't really talked about anything positive about what we can do right now. We have a game.
So this should only take
Monterey.
About 45 seconds. Though, if we're talking, we only want positive things.
Well, yeah, it's take longer to fire Spencer. So, if we want positive things to happen, so. What do we need to do? We'll start with Nick, then Cameron, and then I'll see if I come up with something, or pretty much I'll probably agree with one or both of you. What do we need to do right now with what we have to win against Monterey? Because the goal differential with the 3-0 loss against Real Salt Lake in a three-match group, we need the top two make it, right? Right. So we just need to get halfway out of the hole in this match to get out of the hole. Because they got to play each other too, and that means they will presumably lose both games to us. I don't think we get anywhere with the draw. What do we need to do to win?
There's no draw. It goes straight to that.
The 1-2-3. Actually, I like that a lot. I like that.
NHL, I've been arguing for that. No. I've been arguing for that for years because it's a phantom point in the NHL if they both go to the shootout. Like, no, some games are worth 3 points. Some games are worth 2 points. Like, this is BS. No, all games should be worth 3 points. This is the way to do it. You go to shootout, you get 2 points for a win. Loser gets 1 point for a draw. Every game is worth 3 points. Sorry, they got that right. That's the one thing about the League's Cup that they nailed.
Yeah, I like it a lot. So I still feel like we probably need to win both games because of the goal differential. Obviously, you could have a really inflated game, which changes that if we blow out Monterey. But Nick, what do you think we need to do to win to keep us in a good to put us in a good position to advance? Because I do think we need advance. I don't want to be 3-4 weeks of waiting for the MLS season to start again.
Yeah, so first off, what you got to know is Monterey won the league last season, 6 points ahead of everyone else. They're in Fantastic. Second place right now. Well, I got to set those expectations. So it's going to be a difficult game. They are a very good Liga MX team. With that in mind, we will be at home, slight advantage. We're going to have to play a more Brian Schmetzer type of game, a defensive first game, and eke out a win. I don't think we're going to want to go toe-to-toe and just start swinging, especially if the reports are that Fry might be out with a dislocated finger, rolled on in concussion protocol.
Yeah, that's why he didn't stop at halftime.
Yeah. These are the kind of players you want against Liga MX. These are the kind of players that will be understand the stakes. Now, with that said, Raul loves scoring against Liga MX teams. So I think we will win. I do not think it will be pretty. But we are in for a fight. They are a very, very good team. This is a top of the table Liga MX team. If they were in MLS, they would be a top three team.
Cameroon.
I mean, I think ideally we would take Nico and Rui Diaz, and I would throw in Chu and trade them for Messi and Joseph Martinez. We need them to play like the team against Dallas. We need them to control possession and move forward and create chances. They can't play scared like they did against Salt Lake. I mean, I feel like we had like 2 minutes of possession in the first half, maybe. That's probably not accurate, but I don't know what possession was. It felt 90-10. Like, we looked terrible. Granted, it's not going to be like that. Now, I don't know what the weather is going to be like this weekend because I can't imagine it'll be that hot. In fact, it's going to be a high of 75 that day. So by the time we're playing, it'll be 75 degrees at kickoff. So we're a little more humid than some places, probably not Salt Lake. It will be warm, but it'll be a relief compared to last game. We are going to need to be goal dangerous and push the ball forward and find a way to score. And if we don't, we're going to get blown out because it's going to be like this last game where we had to make subs that immediately allowed 2 goals. And we didn't even talk about that, where we sub players out and immediately lost the game. They had 2 goals back to back as soon as we made subs. And then we decided to go with 2 forwards instead of and 1 center back, which we've been asking for all season. Problem is, we're pushing everyone forward, which then leaves the defense open, which you can't do.
That's a different situation when you only have one center back than starting a game.
You have to play differently, and they were trying to score. So whereas you could have pushed Obed forward, but I'm sure he was tired too. Although he's 16, 17. Come on, man. If anyone out there could have stood those conditions, it's
come
you.
On, boy.
Like.
16.
17. He's 17 now. I mean, come on. Like, Rui 17. Diaz is 150 years old compared to you. Let's figure this out. So I think we have to score first and let, oh, we're going to lose. I think we're at a point now where I don't, I mean, we obviously came back against Vancouver that one game, but this isn't Vancouver. This is Monterey / Montreal if you're Jackson. So I can't, I, unless we, if we score first and they come back and tie it, I think we can score to win, but we have to score first. Otherwise it's going to be the same thing where we're pushing for goals and leaving our defense open and they're just going to eat us alive. And it'll be like FIFA where they can just pass around our defenders and score.
Yeah. As usual, I put myself in a bubble until about 10 minutes before this, but I was distracted by Messi that I did not know that Christian was in concussion protocol again. So soon after, you know, a month and a half? Was it about a month and a half?
Yeah.
That he was out before? And then he got, was back a little bit, but went to USA. I'm really concerned about that. And I feel like without, I mean, look at the title of our last episode.
I agree.
Without Christian, I don't think we're going to find the right sequence or formation or mindset to have a competitive team. I think it's too late in the season. It's now getting interrupted, which you could say is a good thing. But after getting whooped, our worst performance of the season, arguably, in League's Cup Game 1. I mean, should we even try to compete in the next two matches, or should we try to figure shit out in the next two matches so that we can then practice that? We have Monterey and then...
We just have Monterey, don't we?
Well, Monterey this Saturday. And that's it. That's it?
I think so. Am I right,
Nick? Two matches? I guess, yeah, there's only three teams.
Yeah, it's only three team group.
So we play in that. But we'll know. We'll know. I mean, we're recording this on a Tuesday night. Yeah. So we'll know before. We know Wednesday is when RSL and Monterey play. So if RSL beats Monterey, we're winning in. But if
that's fair.
And then, so we could, in theory, depending on what that score is, tie in advance.
I didn't think about that, that obviously there could only be two matches, but have you guys ever watched a soccer tournament with
two-match
group stage?
Well,
with a three-team group stage? At
certain times. Two-match or three?
Yeah, it used to be. That's how CONCACAF Champions League used to be before.
Oh, I thought we had four.
No, like back when we were... matter of fact, when it was Super Saiyan, us, Vancouver, and...
Olympia.
Olympia.
Yeah.
I think it depends on what if Monterey beats RSL, I think we put in our B squad and just, you know, go, because try to win it that way and rest players, because at that point, even if we win, we would have to win by such a large amount that it's unlikely. Or maybe you sub everyone off at halftime. I don't know. But I don't feel like wasting chances for players to get hurt and stuff on a match where we're not going to win.
Of course, if you know the,
because we'll know tomorrow, in real time, not when people are listening to this. It's probably today. If you're listening to this the day this is released, they play Wednesday evening, so we'll know.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. Well, then, more 30,000 foot. Then, since maybe a day and a half of listeners will already know the outcome of that match, and that therefore affects what I'm about to, what I wanted to say. About what we should do. I think us not having Christian Roldan is going to be a bigger problem to solve, or that we have to continue to solve, because he's always seemed like the common denominator that's going to right the ship a little bit. Nico has not been consistent. I think he was so fantastic to start the first 4, 5, 6, 7 matches. He was leading the league in offensive passes.
Yeah, it's crazy how far he's fallen.
And
now his passes are just offensive.
Oh, you can say, but I'm tis.
Yeah, no.
You don't have the hand gestures don't work on podcasts. So I think that's just key to me. Knowing that I was kind of that waiting for him to come back to kind of,
and we saw how good things. We were when he came back.
I guess the same thing with Jordan.
Was fully back in that game against Dallas.
I know.
Wow, but then that didn't translate to Salt Lake. Which, by quick side note, did you see he had a paid partnership with Bud Light, where he was like on his Instagram, where he's like, Bud Light, it's great for you. Or I don't, you know, that's not what he said, but he held out, there's a picture of him holding out a Bud Light. He's wearing a Bud Light scarf that can hold Bud Lights in the scarf and hold your beer for you, which I mean, obviously I'm in favor of that. And I realize he's not getting paid like a superstar. So take that money, Christian, but there's still a part of me that goes, oh, come on, Bud Light.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Hey, in all fairness, and I don't drink Bud Light, I don't drink Bud. However, they've been the one constant when it comes to supporting U.S. soccer. So you know what? Hats off to them.
And didn't Elysian get purchased by Anheuser?
Sadly.
Yeah, it ruined it.
Which is owned by InBev.
And it was the dumbest thing ever, because you had like the original Elysian up in Capitol Hill, who couldn't hire dishwashers because Budweiser put in a rule that you had to pass a drug test in order to work there. And you're not going to find a dishwasher that doesn't get high, because to be able to do that job day in and day out, you got to get pretty high. So they really effed themselves there. But yeah, I was real bummed, because their food especially was one of my favorite things ever. And then they got bought out by Bud. And I don't blame the owner. Like, if you're offered $40 million, or what I think is what he got,
it's like Tom from MySpace.
Take the money, go open a new brewery.
No one judges Tom.
And you have generational wealth for your family. Like, I'm all for it. Like, just make sure you're taking that wealth and using it to better the community and build new brands that are local and creating jobs for local people.
So as usual, my solution to the Sounders' performance and what we should do in the future is just drink all kinds of different beer.
I thought it was just going to be, hey, win.
It's just win. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hey,
let's just win.
Oh, no, Al Davis.
I want someone at the press conference. And Brian, have you ever thought about just winning? do you think if you would just win, then maybe we wouldn't be having these issues?
Fun uncle will turn into a different.
It'll be a repeat of the most glorious day in Sounders media history, when he tore apart Jeremiah O'Shan for saying, "Well, some people are saying," and then coach was like, "Oh, some people? Which people are those, Jeremiah? Which people are those?" And it was Jeremiah who was the one saying, because he wrote the article about it. So it was the most glorious, and KGR played it over and over again all day long. It was one of the best moments in Sounders history.
It sounds like one of the best moments.
It was so awesome, because that guy's a freaking douche.
And to each their own, and opinions their own.
My opinions are my own, but I do not support internet trolls or anyone who's just an asshole for no reason. The end.
And you know what? You can say whatever you want.
No, you're the lawyer. The end is 107.7.
They haven't been the end for many years in my book, ever since they got rid of Marco Collins. Anyway.
Is the end still alive?
Only technically.
No,
hey, I like Gregor.
Gregor's great. Awesome. Because
if you hit pause on your controller and left for a couple days and then came back, the end would have been dead. That's a Metal Gear Solid joke.
Weak. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for just sinking the ship right at the end. We almost made it to shore. We almost made it to port, man. And you just killed everyone. Just
speaking
ended
of
the podcast.
Sinking.
There's like the two people that love Metal Gear Solid. They're like, oh, he's
speaking
went
of
there.
Sinking okay. ships. Before right. we go down, we must get into port, and because of that, we need to discuss where they can find you on the internet, Nicholas.
They can find me at Twitter at Nikita Banana, Instagram at Cascades2C. And then if you go to the ECS Pub League, I am one of the administrators of Pub League. So if you're looking for a learn to play place to play soccer, we like to say no one is too bad for the league. There's only people that are too good for the league. But we really have created a space where We've created a space where people who've never played soccer before can get in, can play, can meet a lot of great people. Aaron joined the league a couple years ago. This is his third season of the league.
I like how you just referenced my tile.
He hasn't been getting too good for the league.
On the screen.
But hey, we're going to eventually get you in the league, Cameron.
Yeah,
you do know that's your future.
My knee's got to get into a place where I can play. But I'm close. I think a year.
There are players without knees. I shit you not. Yeah, you're more than welcome to come join.
No, right now I can only run forward and backwards, left and right. I can't run at angles. But
neither can we.
Yeah, that's what makes it fun. Did you ever play kickball in elementary school and the slow baby bouncy ball is coming right at you and you're like, yeah, this is going to left center. And you just completely whiff it and the ball rolls behind you and you land on your ass. Come to Pub League.
That's Pub League.
That's all of us. And then someone does like a rainbow.
Here's the big thing is it's on Sundays and that's not a good day, especially coming into football season for me. So.
Oh yeah, I know.
Leaving the DVR world.
You can't DVR. You can't DVR when you have tickets to the 10 o'clock
games. Oh yeah, that's right. You're one of those Seattle
flex.
You know, we've only had tickets since 1989.
I'm up here. you're going to the other flex. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, great. I'm up here in Everett, smelling.
Yeah.
Casino
well,
Road.
I mean, I. You've got the Aqua Sox. And you've got whatever, silver tips, yuck. Never mind. Where can they find you, Mr. Aaron Langley? On the internet.
In your backyard right now. I'm coming for you. On the internet, at Aaron Langley, AaronLangley. Yeah. And that's the only place I'm personally active. But Cameron, you did say.
Yeah, we got to follow through. Yeah,
last episode.
You set it up. So you can, we'll say where you can get me first. You can get me at Legal Minded Punk on Twitter, on Instagram, on Blue Sky, and on Threads. So you can get me on all those places. I only post on Twitter and sometimes Instagram, but I've reserved my name. So go follow me in case those are the winners. And you can find this show on both Instagram and Threads at, is it SFC Scuttlebutt? What is it? SSFC. Oh, that's right. SSFC.
Actually, I shared it with you, damn it. You said you were going to take control. It's Sounders Scuttlebutt on both, actually, on
it's
Threads
what?
And
what? Instagram. Sounders Scuttlebutt. Not SSFC like the show, which is, I like that because there is, because SFC is what the Sounders officially use. So it gets confusing now. No, you're good. Oh, perfect. Sounders Scuttlebutt. Find us on Instagram. Find us on Threads. And I'm going to start posting it. And Aaron, you're going to have to go in there and look at it because much like I share funny videos with Nicholas and he shares them with me, I will soon be sharing funny videos with you that will make your night a little better every single time you see one of them.
By the way, what is your... Can you remind me what your OnlyFans
is?
Oh,
it's at Big Boy...
You can't say audible emphasis.
Yeah, figure out how to spell that. You can find that.
How many vowels was that again?
Hey, James.
I thought you canceled your OnlyFans.
No, I canceled my subscriptions to everyone else. Anyway. No, I didn't. I'm single.
Picture it and stop.
Oh, stop it. All right, Cameron lifted his shirt. James, take us away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFC Scuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.